Bibles back to Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 5 again. The blessed day of rest that will be. Tell you what, every week I'm looking forward to it even more. Matthew chapter 5, and let's read all the Beatitudes again, just to keep them all fresh in our mind. I think for the remainder of these, I'm going to read all of them every week. This week we're on, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." But let's read beginning in verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for these great blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for your word and its truth, its power. And Lord, when we walk in your ways, not our ways, we find a greater life. We find peace. We find direction. And Lord, when we're struggling, as we look this morning, help us to feed upon your word, that we might be filled and know the path that you'd have us to take. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts to your Holy Spirit's power. In Jesus' name, amen. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." As I mentioned a few weeks back, because of this one in particular and a couple others in here, many commentators, many people will read all of them as a metaphor, in a metaphorical sense. And this one is closer to a metaphor, being it compares spiritual things with food and drink. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." But the fact is, it's not really a true metaphor, because we do have a spiritual man there, and the Bible clearly denotes that the things of God are food and drink for our spiritual man, for our inner man, for our eternal growth, for eternal life. We eat, our body requires food and drink to continue to live this physical life. But in all reality, our spiritual man, our inner man, must have spiritual food and drink for eternal life. So while it reads as a metaphor, and if you do not stop and think it through, it appears to be one, it is not fully a metaphor. There is a connection here to cause us to think, and that's what a metaphor is, really. It's using something that we can associate with to give us a mental idea of something that's harder to associate with. So there is a metaphorical sense, but there is also a sense of total reality in for the fact that we are spiritual beings. We are made after the image of God. We do have an eternal soul. And our eternal soul must be nourished. So when Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled," he is literally talking about our spiritual man. If we do not feed and nourish our spiritual man, he dries up and dies. Or he is weak. We lose the power to communicate with God, just as someone who is without water becomes parched and has a hard time speaking. We lose the power to fight against sin, just as someone who does not eat has not the strength and the energy to combat
what comes before them. While it is metaphorical in words, it is very real in its essence. And we must approach all of these things with the understanding that Jesus is talking literally about the spiritual man, about the saved individual being part of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, being part of the body of Christ, and being part and partakers of eternal life. As with all of the Beatitudes, he continues the thought later in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 through 11, he says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, of whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Here, Jesus specifically says, now he's talking about asking, he's talking about seeking the Lord, he's talking about following the Lord, he's talking about our relationship with the Father, but the specific thing that he brings to light in that area of asking is food, isn't it? Kids, if you ask your mommy or your daddy, "Can I have lunch?" And they say, "You go pick up some rocks from the driveway, chew on those for a while." You're going to say, "What?" If you say, "Can I go fishing?" And they say, "Only if you go clear out the rattlesnake nest first." You guys, "I'm just not going to go fishing then." If we being evil, that just means, I mean, we are evil, but it's just basically means we're in this body. We have to fight with the old man. We have a sinful nature that we have to combat. Yes, when we get saved, we give that up. We give our sins to Christ and he washes them away. But as long as we're in the body, we're striving unto perfection. We still have to fight the old man. Because he's tougher than us. He tries to get up out of the grave. When we're dead, we're done. But the old man isn't like that. We have to keep putting him in the grave. We have to keep nailing him to the cross of Christ. We are evil. But if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give good gifts to us? And the good gifts that are mentioned specifically here are food, bread and fish, carbohydrates and protein. What you need to feel full and what you need for energy. God is willing and desires to give us what we need for sustenance, for power, for continuance, for energy, for the ability to learn, for all these things. Our Heavenly Father knoweth what we have need of before we ask him. That's clear in scriptures. If we ask of him, he will fill us first and foremost. Jesus went on to say all through his ministry that he was the sustenance of life. Multiple times, and I did not write them all down. I knew I could not find them all as I was going through the Gospels last night. But I wrote down some of the main ones. But Jesus called himself bread. He called himself meat. And he called himself drink. Jesus said that he is the sustenance of our life. John chapter 6, and we're going to read the passage just to get the full essence here. John chapter 6, verses 32-57. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and to him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus said plainly, I am the bread. I am the drink. I am the sustenance. I am life eternal. I am the food for your spiritual man. Now, the Jews got all upset. If you continue in the passage, they say, shall we eat the flesh? They thought he was saying some weird thing. But they were completely missing the point. He's told them multiple times in that passage, Moses gave your fathers physical bread. I am giving myself, looking forward to the cross, as a spiritual sacrifice for your eternal life. But you have to take part of that. You have to believe on me. You have to give your sins over. You have to understand that I am the one who came down from heaven in order to attain spiritual, eternal life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. And if you do not eat of this spiritual bread and drink of this spiritual drink that I am offering you, you likewise will die an eternal death. That is what he was telling them. Here, while he uses a metaphorical sense, he is speaking literally of the sustenance of eternal life. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and said unto them, saying, This is my body which is given you for you. This do in remembrance of me. So every time we gather for the Lord's Supper, we are literally remembering that he is the bread of life. His body was broken for us, that there is no way, other way that man can come before Almighty God, save through the shed blood and broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the only way. But it's not just for salvation. It's not just for salvation. I mean, how take the illustration that he's giving us to the point that he is trying to get across. How likely is it for someone to be born and eat one meal and live a long and happy life? I mean, that's ridiculous. You don't expect a babe to nurse once and be fine. Yeah, you got to nurse them every couple hours. Some of them more than that. Conrad just about had to have a bottle continually. I hear that David was the same way when he was a baby. You know, some of them have to have that constant nourishment. We can't just once and done. They get older and they go from milk to meat. You don't feed them one meal of good hearty food and figure, okay, they're set. So when Jesus is saying that he is the bread of life, he is the drink of the Spirit, he is the one who quenches thirst, he is the meat for our sustenance. He is not saying that you simply pray for salvation and then you're set for eternity. Yeah. You're eternally saved. He says here in John 6 that whoso cometh to him, he will in no wise cast out. Your salvation is eternally secure. But if you do not continue to eat of him, eat of the truth of the word, because he is the word of life, then you are as smart as that child who says, I will eat one meal and never have to eat again. That's not very smart. Even a child knows that. Oh, but we think, in the spiritual sense, we think that's fine. Oh, you know, it's normal to get fed on Sunday. And if we go Sunday and Wednesday, oh, we're more spiritual. And maybe if we listen to a few sermons during the week, oh, we're even more spiritual. But do we live by the Word? When we have some consideration of life, do we go and pore over the Word? What does God say about these things? What does God say in principle about this area of my life? About these choices that I have to make? Because as focused as we get on the day-to-day, it's so easy to forget that we're already living eternal life. If you're saved, your eternal life began the day of salvation. That's the truth. Our body is dying, and it will die unless we see the rapture, praise God. But the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, you embarked on eternal life. If you are without Christ, you are in eternal death. Already you might be living, but for a moment. But you are dying, and you will only die. And it will be an awful death. But the minute you accept Christ as your Savior, you begin eternal life. And it is pure idiocy for us to say, well, Jesus, I understood the gospel. I accepted you as my Savior. I ate of that first meal. And I, since I'm saved, I clearly don't have to eat anymore until I'm at the table, the marriage feast of the Lamb. Who would say that? Oh, because I had a good meal, I don't have to eat for a month. I don't have to eat for a year. I don't have to eat for a passing time. No, you know, when somebody says, well, let's have a fast, most of us go, well, let's see. When some of my boys, and I know most kids are like, I wasn't like this, so sometimes it's a bit of a head-scratcher to me. One of my sisters was like this. But they're already asking about the next meal before they finish the one they're sitting at. Now see, they understand something. They understand their body's need for sustenance. Why can't we approach our eternal needs the same way? Why can we not live in between feedings, if you will, thinking about the next meal? Thinking about how good we felt after such and such a good meal. I mean, You think about a Thanksgiving dinner. You sit down and afterwards, you're so full. And sometimes each one of you can probably think back to a certain Thanksgiving or a Christmas dinner or maybe just some special dinner where you were invited over to someone's house or you had them to yours. And there was just something about that dinner that you can look back and it's a good memory for you. There was some impact on your life because of that mealtime. Do we do that in a spiritual sense? There's a meal, there's a time where I spent in my personal devotions, there's a time where I sat under preaching, there's a time where I had some good Bible conversation with a friend, and it impacted my life, my spiritual life, in such a way that I can look back and that was a good meal. I grew because of that. I received spiritual sustenance. You see, the word of life is food. It is bread and meat and drink. In John chapter 4, Jesus again called himself the bread of life. John chapter 4, verse 14, I'm sorry, not the bread of life here, the water of life, where he's speaking with the woman at the well. And he says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that looks forward to where the Holy Spirit is called the water of life, the one who quenches our thirst. Over and over again, the Holy Spirit is equated with thirst, quenching thirst, water. Jesus also said to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he is the word, the living word. We must know him. And again, that's why we're going through the words of Christ, because he is the living word. How can we be Jesus followers if we don't stop and consider the things that he said? How can we truly say we believe on Jesus, on who he was, if we do not consider him for who he is? Now in the Bible, we find time and time again examples of believers, Old and New Testament, who lived on spiritual sustenance. Think of it this way, in the light of Matthew 7. When you come to the table, you expect to be fed, don't you? You expect to have your hunger and your thirst quenched. You've been working hard, you've been playing hard, whatever. And come in, oh, Mommy, I'm hungry. Can I have a snack? No, dinner's almost ready. Just wait a little bit. So time goes on and it's almost ready, but you're just getting hungrier and hungrier. So when you sit down at that table, you expect to be fed. And you're expecting it to be something that you like, don't you? You're expecting it to be something that you enjoy, but will also make you feel good. In Hebrews chapter 11, the middle of the faith chapter, where we have so many that's what God said they did with their spiritual lives, we have that expectation shown to us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, that's trusting that something's going to happen, isn't it? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Think about that. You come to the table, you're expecting to be fed, and then mama serves something that, I don't like that. Or you haven't had it before and you dish it up on your plate and you take a bite and you're like, I don't like this, Mommy. This is gross. And you know what you did, by the way? You really hurt your mommy's feelings. It's true. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to, what? Help me out, kids. Please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know, it's the same way in a spiritual sense when we come to the Word. And we say, oh man, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't ever get anything out of it. I don't understand what the Bible says. And so we don't try. We don't consider. We don't taste these things. And guess what? Going back to our text, we're not filled. Kids, when you sit down in front of something that you don't like, and you say, well, Mama and Daddy say, well, you got to eat it anyway, and you take a couple bites, just enough to get by, just enough to say you ate it, but inside you're being all rebellious, I'm not going to eat this. And then 10 minutes later, oh, I'm hungry. Why? Because you didn't eat. When we come before the Lord, whether it's in devotions, whether it's in just Bible reading, whether it's in a conversation about the Bible with friends and we're kind of shutting them out, whether it's sitting under preaching and, oh, I don't agree with what the preacher said, so I'm not going to listen to any of it. What we are doing before God is saying, I don't like the food, and we go away hungry. Matthew chapter 5 says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Guess what? The primary blessing in hungering and thirsting after righteousness is you'll be filled. You'll have sustenance for your spiritual, eternal life. That's amazing, isn't it? How simple, but how amazing. Think about the examples we have in the Bible. We have those in Hebrews 11. We also have Elijah, who lived such a life of faith. He was carried up in a fiery chariot in a whirlwind. You think about Job, who sacrificed daily. And God Himself told Satan Himself, have you seen my servant Job? I am pleased with him. Back in Hebrews 11:6, it says that he is the rewarder of them that seek him. When we come with faith, he is pleased and he blesses us with filling. Enoch, he's mentioned in the chapter of faith. He walked with God and was not. God says, Enoch, I have such a good time at the dinner table with you. Come on up to my table. I'm not going to come down to your table anymore. Come on up to mine. Think about with Abraham, the righteous man, the angel of the Lord, and two other angels came. And Abraham says, let me make a meal for you. And he makes the best meal that he can. And did you ever think God sat down and ate with Abraham? When he came to Gideon and Gideon did the same thing, the angel touched it with his rod and it burnt up. But with Abraham, God sat down and ate with him. Think about the impact of that. Daniel, he had the ear of God. Think about it. He was asked about this dream. And he said, let me go talk to God about it. And God says, oh, this is what it means. God came to him. It showed him all these things. He had the ear of God. Where? Think about your life. When we want to have a friend over, when we want to have a good conversation with somebody, when we want to take them aside and just focus on that person, there's usually food or drink involved, isn't there? Oh, well, maybe you can't have them over for meal, but then you have them over for coffee, for tea. You go out for an ice cream. We have this innate knowledge, innate understanding that when you have those one-on-ones, somehow it's better with food involved. If we want to please God, and if we want to be filled with God's Word, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and filled with the peace that passes understanding, and the knowledge of the holies, and all these wonderful things that the Bible says that we can have, why do we separate ourselves from the idea that the Word of God is food for our spiritual man? And then wonder why we're hungry. How is this done? How is this done in Scriptures? Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Think about that. Now, this passage isn't specifically talking about food, but we've just looked at the fact that Jesus is bread, is meat, is drink. He says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You come to mama, oh, I'm hungry. Okay, well, let's help put dinner on. Help me make some of the food. Wash the table, set the table, start gathering people around. Oh, I don't want to do that. But guess what? Now it takes longer for dinner to happen because you didn't help. Those that seek me early shall find me. Those that come expecting to find are given. That's a true thing throughout Scripture. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. That comes to the table of communion with God, trusting, having faith, expecting to be fed. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, filled is the man that trusteth in Him. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11, the Scripture reads, Seek the Lord and His face, and His strength. Seek His face continually. Again, like a growing child, they're thinking about the next meal before they finish the one that they're on. They want to be fed. They desire food. They know that at the rate they're growing and the energy they're burning, they're going to be hungry again in a minute. We need to come before the Lord as a growing child. Seek His face continually. Continually. And you know what? We'll be filled. We'll be fed. Our thirst will be quenched. You know, again, comparing it to a meal, all the food that's been prepared is eaten. And one of the kids piped up, "Mama, I'm still hungry." "Well, there's nothing else. You ate it all. You're just going to have to wait till later. You've had enough. You'll be fine for right now." You know, God never says that. If you come to God saying, "God, I'm still hungry," guess what? God's got more. At the marriage feast in Cana, when they ran out of what they wanted to drink, Jesus gave them something better. It's the same way with your spiritual life. When you run out of what you have, and you say, "God, I need more," guess what the Bible tells you? He continues to give you better, and better, and better. That's what sanctification's all about. That we might be made more like Him. That we might be made perfect in His holiness. That we might be made mature. As long as we are coming to the table looking for more, He gives us better than we had before. But if you come to the table saying, "God, I'm happy with the amount of Christian that I am," and then you walk away from the table saying, "Oh, I've heard those things a million times. I guess I must be a good Christian because there's just, I can't find anything else to grow on." The problem's not the Bible, and it's not God, and it's not Jesus and His walk with you. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's you. You're coming. You're not asking for the bread and for the fish. You're saying, "I'm okay with stone soup. You know, a little bit more of the same thing put in there again and again. I'm okay with where I'm at. There's too much flavor in the other stuff for me." I tell you what, the Bible says that God is not pleased with the Christian who eats spiritually this way. Then we're to not be distracted. Psalm 119 and verse 10. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Think about that. Again, the commandments, the Bible calls food, it calls bread. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Let's compare it to a meal, just like Jesus did. You sit down at a meal, and man, you're ready for this meal, and this is good food, and you're focused on it, and you're enjoying it. You have company over, everybody sits down, and everybody gets served, and it's real quiet. And somebody typically breaks the silence with, "Must be good food, nobody's talking." Why? Because they're not distracted. It's good food. Can we approach the Scripture the same way? "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." You get so much more out of that food if you're focused on it. Psalm 63 and verse 1, we see a hint at an appropriate drink. You think about it. When you have cookies, people think, "Let's drink some milk." When you sit down with a plate of goodies, people think, "Let's have some coffee." When you sit down with pizza, most people think, "Where's the pop? Where's the soda?" Whatever way you want to call it. When you sit down with some things, you would really rather have water. Our taste buds, our tongue knows that certain things, we feel like there's an appropriate drink to go with it. Psalm 63 and verse 1 says, "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." See, the psalmist says, "I'm thirsty, and there is an appropriate drink for my need." Here, he says, water. We go through our life. We go to a spiritual meal, maybe. And let's just put it in the context of a spiritual meal. We're getting something, but it's not quite enough. It's not quite clicking. And then somebody says something, or another verse comes to light, and it makes it all sit well. I used to tease Tiffany because she always said that her food didn't really digest until she drank a cup of coffee afterwards. It just helped everything digest. And sometimes a spiritual meal is like that. It's good, and you know it's truth, and you know it is for you, but you don't quite know how it applies. And then you come across something, and it's like, whew, now it fits. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It's not just when there's nothing else, but it's also to help the rest of the food digest. We need to be seeking the Lord. What's that one more piece that I need? And as we've just seen, when we're seeking the Lord, He says, here it is. He's more than willing to give it to us. But there's also the other context of exactly what the verse is saying. When there is nothing. When we feel like we're in a dry and thirsty land. When we're starving. And when we have nothing. And just a drink of water would help. And if you've ever been working hard on the job, or I don't typically get thirsty. I never have. But one time that I do is like if I'm cutting firewood for hours on end, and I think it's like probably all the dust in the exhaust of the chainsaw, and you get several hours into it, and your tongue starts getting dry, and you're getting hungry too because you've been working hard. And you think, just something. And a sip of water not only wets your mouth, but it also puts something in your stomach so that you don't feel like you've got to go find some food. Just a little bit of something will carry me over. Water will suffice just fine. How many times in our life are we just like that? Man, I can't figure out where I'm going, what I'm doing, or what the answer is, how to deal with this particular person or this situation. I'm in a dry and thirsty land. Everything I try, it's like I'm just working harder and there's no sustenance. The psalmist was in just such a situation, and his response was, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. It's like, picture if you will, and this is a poor illustration, but picture if you will, playing on the golf course. And you're out, you're on the 10th hole, 12th hole, you're far away from the clubhouse. And it's a hot day. And the guys in front of you, they're playing slow. Oh man, I need something to drink. Well, guess what? The guys who own the golf club know about this phenomena. And they hire this guy to run around in a little golf cart with two coolers in the back. And he's got water, and he's got pop, and he's got whatever. And you're sitting there, you're waiting for somebody else to play, and you're thinking, man, I'm getting thirsty. Wish I had something. And here comes this guy buzzing up. Hey, can I sell you a drink? And he's usually asking some outrageous price, but guess what? He gets it because that person felt like they needed something right then. Compare that to our life. The way's been long. We're far away from anything that we normally feel we would get sustenance from. Something or somebody is ahead of us just plugging up our life. Are we looking at what's plugging up our way? Or are we looking for the ministering spirit? Are we looking for God? Are we looking for the Holy Spirit to just refresh so that we can continue on? That concept is also seen in Psalm 23. And verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Notice here, this isn't a good time meal. This isn't a vacation. This isn't a relaxation. This isn't a 5-star restaurant. This is, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Hey guys, let's take a break. I'm going to eat. Throw up the shield. I'm going to get some sustenance here real quick. You know, we have a term that when you know somebody's hungry and they start getting a bad attitude because of it, we call them hangry, don't we? You've got that hunger anger. And it's a real thing. When your body's getting hungry and something starts flowing in your nervous system and, oh, you've got to eat. And because you've got to eat, everything's bad. And somebody can come up and do potentially the nicest thing for you, and man, you feel like smacking them up the side of the face because you're hangry. The Bible fixes spiritual hangriness. The Word of God, spiritual sustenance, the presence of the Holy Spirit fixes spiritual hangriness. You know, you can tell when someone's not right with the Lord. You can tell when you know the person's a Christian, you've seen God work in their life, and you come along one day and man, everything's bad. You know, maybe that person's not saved after all. Maybe they've just been putting on a good show. You know what the problem generally is? They're spiritually hungry. They came like that child we first talked about who had one meal and figured he's good for life. Or maybe he ate for a while and he's good. Man, Thanksgiving dinner, you know, it's another joke after Thanksgiving dinner. I don't have to eat for another week. How many times do we come to the Bible that way? Oh, I got fed. Yeah, that was good. Great preaching, brother. I don't have to eat for a week. By the end of the week, you ought to be hungry. By the next day, you ought to be hungry. And there's so many people, even in our church. I think every one of us have at times walked around spiritually hunger angry. We can't handle our life because the enemies have come, and rather than sitting down at the table that He's prepared for us in the presence of our enemies, we're too busy fighting our battles. And the fact is, the food's getting cold. It might even be going bad, getting a touch of botulism. Not because there's anything wrong with that. It's because we didn't eat it. There's another thing where the Bible is compared to a good meal. And that is, it's polite to praise the cook, isn't it? Man, this was good food, Mommy. Man, this was a great meal. That particular dish, whoever made that, they just did a great job. You know, some people, they're known for, they make this perfectly. Tiffany's known, not to brag on her, but Tiffany's known for her crescent rolls. And she can give her recipe out to other people and it doesn't taste the same. And generally, there's different things. My mom, with her cinnamon rolls. I mean, Tiffany found a recipe the other day where she got really close and they were really good. But even my grandma, who's like a really good bread maker, my grandma can't make crescent rolls like Tiffany, and she can't make cinnamon rolls like my mom. She makes really good cinnamon rolls, but they're just not quite the same. Usually every cook has something that they just have that Midas touch, if you will, on that particular dish. And we praise the cook. It's the right thing to do. Well, Psalm 40 and verse 16. Psalm 40 and verse 16 says, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." Now, if you equate these things with He is our spiritual sustenance, and we are to seek Him continually, we're to be hungry continually. You equate those things, then let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. You know why? Because when it comes to eternal life, God's a good cook. He's got the best food. The Bible tells us that there's pleasures in sin for a season, but the end is there's problems. There's death. There's everything's wrong. The prodigal son, he went out and he feasted and he partied and he had all kinds of friends and he ran out of money and it all went away. And he was reduced to eating pig slop. Guess what, folks? When it comes to eternal things, God's a good cook. He's got the recipe for eternal joy. He's got the recipe for perfect life. He's got the recipe for holiness. He's got the recipe for righteousness, for sanctification, for justification, for peace that passes understanding. God's a good cook. In all of these things where we just need something, God's got it. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hungering and thirsting means I know I need something. And I'm going to quit the conflict and I'm going to go get some sustenance. So that I have strength to continue on. And then you get back in the battle and the other one says, "Whoa, what happened to you?" You say, "The Lord be magnified. God's a good cook. I got a blessing. I'm filled." Finally, even though I said, you don't want to just eat the first meal, If you haven't, you need to understand that eternal life itself is spiritual food. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink physically, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Eternal life itself is food. We're not saved to just enjoy the rest of our life and then heaven. We're saved to take part in righteousness, peace, and joy with the Holy Ghost presence right now. If you don't know that, then you need to come before the Lord and begin to hunger, begin to thirst. Look to be blessed. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Are you saved today? Have you sought first the kingdom of God, or are you trying to fill your life or your life to be with what you can accomplish in this physical world? All these things pass away. They might be the king's dainties, but they're a distraction. They're pleasures for a season. Eternity is coming faster than you think. Are you ready? If you've taken part in that first meal, wonderful. Have you continued to sit at the table that He spread before you in the presence of your enemies, but also in times of praise and perfectness? To be before the Lord continually. Are you treating the table of God, His Word, His truth, as a child who halfway through the meal says, "What's next? I need some more." Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your help this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for its truth. Thank You that You lead us to cool water, to green pastures, to the words of eternal life. Thank You for each one here this morning. I pray that You would bless them with these words, that You bless each one that tuned in, and Lord, those who were not able to come or were not able to tune in for any given reason, Lord, I pray that You would bring these things to them somehow. Because it is truth, it is life, it is sustenance, because You have said so. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, would you come?